This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you happen to be in downtown Concord during market days in June, you may have noticed a camera crew snaking through the bargain seekers, vendors, and beer gardens. At its head, Rick Broussard, author, editor of New Hampshire Magazine, and now co-director of Granite Orpheus, an experimental film project that began with two men and a humble mission. The production has since grown to involve a wide-ranging group of collaborators and to illustrate an important transformational moment for New Hampshire's capital city. Granite Orpheus wraps up filming this month, and Rick joins us now with more. Welcome back to Word of Mouth.
It's always great to be here.
All right, so humble beginnings. Let's get to those. What was the initial aim of this project?
It was to get John Heshen off my back. He's a wonderful filmmaker and photographer, and he wanted us to make a movie, and we'd gone through several variations on that concept, and finally we said, let's make something we can do in a weekend. We'll find a good setting and a good opportunity, you know, where we can opportunistically count on a lot of extras being around and an interesting set that's already laid out for us. And we picked Market Days in Concord. And a lot of things just coincidentally followed. For instance, I didn't realize how perfectly the city would be divided during Market Days. I knew that they were doing a lot of construction on the streets. But suddenly we have this incredible symbol of past and future for the capital city of Concord, divided right down the middle of Main Street, old and new. And here we are, as you say, snaking a camera crew amongst the beer gardens and the revelers.
And that weekend shoot, how long ago did that begin?
That was Market Days.
end of June.
Yeah. So, and we've got one major shoot left to do and then some sort of mop up. But it was never supposed to be like this, Virginia. It was supposed to be easy.
So it's a kind of Franken-film at this point.
It's a Franken-film.
How did that happen?
I'm not exactly sure. I do think that the myth has something to do with it. Something about a myth, it's so open-ended and so it's so sticky to the brain that people just, they saw themselves in it and they wanted to be involved in it in some way. And so we suddenly had the small group that grew into a large group, and we had to find jobs for everybody. And we started with no script, and so we had to write a script.
So the myth that you're referring to is the myth of Orpheus. This is an old, ancient Greek myth.
Correct.
Can you give us a summary of the myth?
Yeah, but it's going to be a reduction because it's a huge myth.
Reduction's good.
Essentially, it's a son of one of the muses who's the most talented musician, poet. He's actually a prophet of all time. He falls in love with a beautiful woman who is she's the daughter of Apollo. She is an oak nymph. And on their wedding day, he plays for her and she dances in the fields. And then shortly thereafter, she is bitten by a serpent and she dies and goes to hell, which, of course, was the ancient term for death, not a place of punishment, just where everybody went. And Orpheus is so determined to rescue her that he makes his way to hell and performs for Hades, the god of hell, a song which is so heartrending that Hades releases Eurydice with one condition that she follow him out of hell back to the real world, and he never looked back to be sure that she's there.
And he just couldn't do it.
He just can't do it.
So he looks back.
He looks back, and he's drawn back to hell eternally. And, I mean, that's where the myth gets complicated because there, in some versions of it, he is reunited with Eurydice and Hades.
Okay, so Eurydice is the woman he falls in love with, Apollo's daughter, the wood nymph.
Correct.
Now, why choose this story, the myth of Orpheus, rather than, I'm thinking, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes as a symbol of transformation and optimism, I guess, for Concord's transition?
Well, I think it's a cautionary tale, which I think all the best stories are, they have a little bit of grit in them. And in this case, it's a story that's just stuck with me my whole life. I think, I don't know when I really first discovered it, but I know when I remember first learning of its artistic potency was when I wasn't in college. I was living near a college, and I would get to see movies at the campus. And I saw both Black Orpheus, which was a film shot in Brazil during during Carnival.
Just brilliant, one of my favorite adaptations ever.
And then probably one of the most classic pretentious art films of all time, Cocteau's Orpheus. And Jean Cocteau was famously French and famously obscure, but of all movies to have memorized lines from, I was so fetched by certain lines from Cocteau's Orpheus that I've remembered them my entire life.
In French?
No. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint. In the translated version. And so when John and I were talking about making a movie, I said, you know, it would be cool if we took some lines out of the old Orpheus and we put them in the mouths of some of our modern actors in Concord, New Hampshire, and see how that works.
And the others are just improvising all the other lines?
Well, we didn't wind up using too many lines from Orpheus either because the actors felt a little awkward using them. So instead
give me an example.
One was, the bird sings with its fingers. And I don't know why Orpheus said that, but he did, and it just was a beautiful thought. And then he says, a single glass of water lights the world. And another one is, time travels faster backwards. So those three lines have always stuck with me. And if I ever just wanted to confuse people, I could produce one and sound. It sounded like I said something, but then when you think about it, he didn't really say anything at all, did he? So we figured we would use those lines, and instead they wound up in the lyrics to some songs that appear in the movie. There's a lot of music in this movie, which is, of course, appropriate to a movie about basically the patron Greek saint of music and art.
So you drew in these musicians as a part of your group of collaborators as this film has grown. Who are some of the others who've joined into the efforts?
Well, Andrew Pinard is a stage magician who we picked up along the way, and he's also a great actor and director, performer, blah, blah. He's everything, Andrew is, and he's fairly well known locally. So we typecast him as a magician or a street performer. Kevin Flynn, some people remember from his days on WMUR, but he's still a personality, and he's written for my magazine a lot, so I know him to be a great character, and we got him to be a balloon man, kind of an evil balloon man. And then the interesting development was when I enlisted a group of friends who are involved in the recording industry, a guy named Brian Coombs at Rocking Horse Studio. And Brian has always got a crop of great talent that he's working with. And he said, look, let us get involved. We'll do your Foley. We'll do your soundtrack. And I'm working with a singer-songwriter that might actually write your song, your great love song, because obviously a movie about a great love and a musician has to have a great love song. So we said, okay. And it turned out that musician is a guy named Alex Preston, who was a...
who's on American Idol.
He came in third. Third place is an odd place to come in on American Idol. It doesn't guarantee you anything. And Alex is trying to figure out what to do now with his career. And he voluntarily wrote for us, along with Brian and with another young man named Pat Gochez, who's in a great local band called Pat and the Hats, a song that is actually... I'm a big music fan. I think it's like a hit. This song could play well on the radio.
Okay, then, let's play it on the radio. This is a work-in-progress recording called I Would Save You. It's part of the soundtrack to Granite Orpheus.
I would stop time and see you arrive. Just to steal another moment with you. And through the night, I would be your light. Just to guide you through the other side. If all of your fears came to light in the dark of night, all of your tears wash the dearest part of hope away. Oh, I would say.
So we've got that. So suddenly our game was just upped. You know, okay, how are we going to live up to this? We've got this great song. We've got all this talent. And we had this concept of making a pretentious art film in a weekend and slapping it together. The beauty of an art film, by the way, is if there's anything that doesn't make sense, people assume that it was supposed to be that way. So suddenly we have to at least make enough sense to compose about an hour of film. And it may be longer. We were originally thinking a 15-minute film.
Wow. So, Rick, this is you. You know, you've authored books. you're editor of a New Hampshire statewide magazine, and now director. I mean, is this a direction you want to go in?
I tend to find openings and then see how far I can delve into them. You know, the funny thing about the story, the cautionary tale of the story, is that if you reduce it to a single line, it's don't look back. And I think in many ways that's what the message of Orpheus is that when you're doing something great, you don't look back. And the reason for that is because you can't do something great unless you're totally committed to the course. And that little tentative moment is all it takes to, you know, eliminate all of the progress you've made to that point. So it's also an impossible standard. So I think it's like all myths, it's something that we're not supposed to live out, you know, in our day-to-day life. It's something that's supposed to inform our existence.
Well, then, since we're looking forward, what's going to happen in this film when it's finished?
That's a great question. I have an inn. My wife works for Red River Theaters here in Concord, and I know that we will get a showing there. It'll be the equivalent of a cast party where we bring everybody back together. And interestingly, a film scene has developed in New Hampshire over the past few years with the Snob Film Festival locally and the New Hampshire Film Festival. Both of those are candidates for next year, and I think we'll have a pretty easy path to get into one or both. And I guess then it just depends on how good it is. But like most things, you know, we can always live online, and I think that's not that different, I suppose, from, you know, from Hades, the online world. So maybe that's where you'll have to find it.
Another Myth in the Making with Rick Broussard. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Rick Broussard, author, editor of New Hampshire Magazine, and now film director, or at least co-film director of Black Orpheus. You can find more about the film and its illustrious cast at wordofmouthradio.org.